That is the most perfect start we've ever had. The timing and everything, the music. So this better be a good podcast. Oh, no, I've already started terrible. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast.
This, straight away.
Yeah, this week's NFL week, clearly, because unfortunately that's the only sport sort of going at the moment, well, that we like at least anyway.
Well, there's a little bit of NBA preseason sort of banging about at the moment, but you know, the NFL's in full swing.
And it's penultimate, really, last few weeks. So week 14, I'll run through the scores again. The Rams, just not sure. I mean, I think I've seen it coming, but they did beat the Patriots 24-3.
They all roading the Patriots?
Yeah, no, I didn't expect that. I didn't expect the next one either. The Bears railroading the Texans 36-7.
Yeah, I mean, they've been inconsistent as of late, but oh boy, the Houston, there was talk all last week on ESPN. Is Deshaun Watson a sneaky MVP candidate? And I think the answer to that right now is a big fat dirty no.
The Cowboys notching a win over the Bengals 30-7.
Oh, you must be happy with that.
I don't want to make the wild card. We better not. I want a top 15 pick. the Chiefs beating the Dolphins in a kind of a seesaw sort of game, especially in that fourth quarter.
That was a really good game, actually.
Yeah, the Cardinals beat the Giants 26-7. The Bucks beat the Vikings 26-14.
They're either really good games this week or just absolute stinkers.
Like the Broncos beating the Panthers 32-27. What wasn't a stinker? Actually, you know, like, I will talk about Broncos later, but the Titans beat the Jags 31-10. The Colts just, putting the Raiders to the proverbial sword 44-27.
Said it last week, man. Do not sleep on the Colts.
Ah, well, I slept on their fantasy players, but that's a terrible Well, I didn't sleep on it. Someone else didn't sleep on it, and it ruined me. But anyway, the Seahawks demolished the Jets 40-3. I mean, they are going to go 0-16. The Packers beat the Lions 31-24. Your Saints went down to the Eagles 24-21. I'm sure we got lots to talk about in that. The Chargers beating the Falcons 20-17. God damn, that. Maybe we should have played Heartbreaker for this week and just Heartbreaker to anybody that was betting against it for these teams.
Oh, man. This year, just...
Washington, on a run, 23-15 over the 49ers. And they look good. We'll probably talk about them later. The Bills beating the Steelers 26-15. That's going to be a good little race towards that, that top spot. And the game that just was on today, the Ravens over the Browns in a huge high-scoring affair, 47-42, and a hugely wild finish as well.
Hence why we kicked off everything with the Monday night theme, because that was just an absolute, you know, batshit crazy game.
No, it was. We'll start on that. Like, I don't know. When I sort of looked at it, I guess it was just a typical Lamar Jackson game, really, if you go back from last year, where he was fairly accurate, didn't throw a lot of ball, but fairly accurate, but just ran a lot of yards.
No, that's right. Well, you know, if you sort of break it up into halves, and in the first half he was sacked four times and only had six passing attempts. He was three for six for 53 yards in the first half. So, you know, but on the other side of that, he had seven rushes for 78 yards and had two rushing touchdowns.
Yeah, so, he did.
And the funny thing was about that game too, like it looked like it was cold there and everything, but he was having a lot of trouble sort of getting grip on the field too. And it didn't look like not too many other people were doing that. I think it was, the more side to side sort of, you know, his movement laterally.
Yeah.
He was having a lot of trouble sort of getting grip on that field there in Cleveland.
Exactly. I mean, that is a cold field as it is anyway. Look, if we go look at the first half, the Baltimore, I thought the way they were playing, the Baltimore Ravens were really just sort of running away with it. It's pretty even in the first quarter. The second quarter, was a bit of a crapshoot as well. But then the third quarter, they seemed to sort of pushing away with it until that just insane fourth quarter of just the whole 12 minutes. Yeah, 12 minutes was insane. 15, sorry, it is 15. Apologies.
Yeah.
That last quarter.
I mean, it was almost like almost like one of those Hollywood movies where, you know, the Lamar Jackson has disappeared from the sideline.
Yeah.
And yeah, it took him a little while to sort of try and find out what was going on. They found out that he was having cramps.
Yeah. It must have been really cold there. That's just said between the field and him, and I don't think he was the only one cramping up. I mean, it is Cleveland in winter. So.
No, it looked like it was bitterly cold there, but they brought in, well, obviously they didn't have Robert Griffin III on the sideline due to a hamstring injury, which is kind of funny. He's hardly even playing and he's got a hamstring injury. So anyway, they had to bring in a sort of like, I guess, their third string sort of guy in Trace McSorley. He had a couple of rushing attempts and completed one pass for 13 yards, and then his leg, he sort of slipped a little bit as he was trying to sort of backtrack and step back against the grain, and looked like his leg sort of got bent underneath him when he got crushed by two defensive linemen, and it didn't look good. He sort of got carted off, and then I don't know if too many people would get this reference. It's probably a little bit dated, but a la Willis Reed for the New York Knicks. I think it was in the 70. I think it was in the 72 championship that they won. He sort of went into the locker room and emerged, you know, minutes later after having a leg injury, and sort of led the Knicks to some sort of significant win, which nobody will ever remember. But he sort of comes running out of the locker room. And was on the sideline, and you're just like, oh, okay, he's just going to get thrust straight back into the game, is he? It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was like a superhero. Like, he just come in and had to rescue his teammates. It was insane.
That's exactly what he did. It was a fourth and four that he stepped back on the field for.
Yeah.
And it wasn't as if it was going to be. I guess they probably would have been looking at a designed run play to sort of get those 4 yards, but he sort of escapes out of the pocket, throws it over to Hollywood Brown, who had trouble with his hands in this game. I think he dropped 3 or 4 easy balls that Lamar Jackson had sort of thrown to him. Catches it perfectly, goes in for the touchdown, and you're like, right, there's the momentum sort of swing that's gone back to Baltimore, and then it was far from over from then.
No, that's exactly right. I'm just reading what happened when I guess his post game. This is Lamar Jackson. He just said he got some fluids in him, and he's seen that Trace McSorley went down, and said, you know, I've got to go out there. It's fourth down, and we've got no one else. You guys,
that's right. Yeah, who the hell was going to take the snap?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They had no idea who was going to take the snap at all. But he got the ball to Marquise Brown for that 44-yard touchdown, and then he set up Justin Tucker perfectly for that 55-yard field goal.
That's right.
But Justin Tucker, it's ridiculous, but it just looks like pot shots these days. So
it was just a nice, easy 55-yard field goal. He said he's the most accurate kicker in the NFL. He's that for a reason. And I think he missed one last week, which I thought everyone was sort of stunned at. But come back with his glory this week. And there was still 2 seconds left. At the end of the game, they see Cleveland sort of play keep away. And I think they had about, I don't know how many passes, like 10 or 11 sort of those backwards passes. And then one gets batted back and it ends up in the end zone. And Jarvis Landry gets tackled and ends up being a safety.
See, another weird sort of ending. But
Cleveland, they scored too quickly after the Brown touchdown. Like, Mayfield just came down the field and just scorched everybody. And then the Kareem Hunt touchdown. It was so quick.
Yeah.
It was
exactly.
you've left too much. So I think it was a minute 14 or a minute 34 left on the clock. It was too quick.
Yeah.
You've just got to burn the clock there. Work it down. That's why they've got these, you know, these guys there that's why they've got timeouts and all sorts of things like that. So they can say, hey, just hold up a little bit, you know, just hold up.
What I liked about this game was, firstly, it was for both of them, I guess, was playoff implications. Ravens had to win.
Absolutely had to win.
The Browns, I guess, had to, if they win, it just sort of solidified their sort of playoff, you know, chances and sort of hopes. The thing with the Ravens, I love that what they did is what they got them so far last year is they went to the run game. I'm not just talking about Lamar Jackson. They actually just went to the run game, and it worked because, yeah, you have Mark Andrews there as a linchpin just in case, but it went to what they do best, and they got 5 rushing touchdowns.
That's right. Yeah, it's unreal. Five rushing touchdowns, and Cleveland had 4 rushing touchdowns.
But that's exactly right. That team's set up for like that with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So they both played to their strengths. It was just one of those sort of seesaw games. So I'm interestingly enough, I wasn't out on the Browns because, I mean, they're on a 9-4 record. So it's not that they're doing too bad. I'm giving them a lot more respect after this game, even though they did lose it.
I think they're more. Sort of what they need to sort of focus on a little bit more is defensively now. I think obviously they're really good up front, you know, and they've got Myles Garrett who still leads the league in sacks
at this point in
time. The thing was Baker Mayfield was essentially untouched, you know, no sacks recorded on him. Lamar Jackson was only sacked. He was sacked 4 times, but those 4 times were in the first half.
They
devised a bit of a plan to sort of get themselves out. Do you know what I mean? And sort of change up their game plan a little bit to stop that from happening. I think Cleveland could have worked the clock a little bit better, other than, you know, basically taking a minute off the clock and going 75 yards for the Kareem Hunt touchdown. I think it was only like 4 plays or 5 plays or something like that. I think they could have done a little bit better in trying to work the clock. They still had all their timeouts. So I think they just could have done a little bit better than that to try and, you know, not so much ice the game, but you go down there, you get the touchdown, you get the extra point, you can't lose. So, you know, you don't give Lamar Jackson the chance to play that hero ball, and that's exactly what happened, and it backfired.
The next game, we might as well keep going sort of backwards, I guess. The Bills I've liked the Bills from the start of the year. I mean, we talked about it last week, and that Stephon Diggs pickup, and again he proved it as well for the Bills, but as erratic as he is, I think Josh Allen, I was going back to the, I think we were talking about this, but the 2018 draft, I think if I looked at the 4 quarterbacks, which is Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, yes, Lamar Jackson was picked 32nd, but really, I at the moment, because I don't think Lamar's had a great season, I really like the way Josh Allen's playing if I had to look at those 4 quarterbacks.
No, that's right. He's gone from being super erratic to being a little bit more sort of conservative and more accurate. Like, he still has the big play in him, and now he's actually got the weapon, or, you know, a weapon in that lineup there that he can target on big plays like that. So it's, you know, not that he was super accurate in this game, but he still made the plays when he needed to be.
Yeah.
They brought the heat on Big Ben.
Yeah, it was the whole defense. Game. Yeah, no, the that's exactly game. Right. Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yeah, and
they're banged up. Which they're banged up too, Pittsburgh. Like, yeah, they
had a couple.
Their offensive
of
line is a little sloppy at the moment. James Conner's only just come back from a 3-week hiatus. You know, that they've basically had the run game abandoned at the moment. Like in the last 6 weeks. In the last 6 weeks, they're the second worst rushing team in the league.
That's exactly right. I think that they've abandoned the running game, exactly like you just said. So Big Ben had to throw it again, and then Buffalo just played to that, and they just had to they disrupted Ben. Exactly what you just said.
Big Ben can still get the job done, but he's not as mobile anymore, and he has to get that good protection, but he also has to get help from the run game. And they just haven't looked like themselves over the last month or so, Pittsburgh, even though they've eked out a couple of wins. But now they've lost two on the trot. So that entail has sort of opened up the division.
Yeah.
And it's not so much opened up the AFC. Everybody knows that Kansas City's the best team in the AFC. But it's sort of...
NFL.
That's right. Yeah, awesome. In the league. But, they'll obviously get their top seed. In the AFC, but it just sort of opens up those bottom matchups now. Even if Pittsburgh still do go on and win the division.
Well, so you're exactly right. I think even though they are 11-2, I took it exactly how you took it. I think because they've abandoned the running game, they don't look as competent as someone like, say, the Browns. They've got their next run. They got the Bengals. Should win. Then they got the Colts. That'll be a very good game. And then they finish at home against the Browns. So I think as an 11-2 team, while I'm looking at what the Bills' schedule is, they're clearly gonna make the playoffs. Don't get me wrong. I think you to go further, you need to be a rushing team as well. I really think you need to be a rushing team.
Well, it's either that or you've got to be unbelievable in the pass game. And you've either got to get some plays from special teams or defensively you have to be fairly solid. And at this point in time, they're just not solid defensively at all. They're banged up on the defensive line, in the linebacker stocks. They're banged up. Guys that are on the IR at the moment, guys that are on the COVID list at the moment. So they're missing their guys, and even though TJ Watt's still there, but they're just missing some extra personnel there.
Yeah, there's that Vesse or whatever.
It makes it hard at this time of year.
Yeah, I think either Vere Vesse or someone like that. I think he was there, and he's a great defender. The Bills' home runs, because these are the two AFC sides. They got the Broncos, the Pats, and then they finish against the Dolphins. So conceivably, I don't know. I could see them finishing even possibly above Pittsburgh. And then sort of stealing that second seed.
Yeah, Pittsburgh needs to work out
what they're doing,
what they're doing wrong. I think they sort of need to change their philosophy, I think, a little bit. If they're not going to be as solid defensively, then they need to sort of go, okay, well, then we have to be multifaceted on the offensive side, and we really have to lock in, make sure our offensive line play is good, and establish a good run game now that James Conner's back, because Conner was essentially, it was absent in this game. 10 carries for 18 yards. It was just ineffective. They just couldn't get anything going in the run game. And when you put it on the arm of Big Ben, and you go up against a defense that's as solid as what Buffalo is, then you're going to run into problems. And if you have to chase the game, that's what generally happens. You get picked off.
Next game, the Washington, I guess, sort of, well, they're 4 in a row at the moment now, so they're leading the NFC East. They might essentially finish above 500, which no one expected that from the NFC East at all. But that Chase Young, I know it doesn't ever go to defensive players or offensive players unless you're a quarterback, but the way their season going at the moment, that Chase Young, their defensive end, he should be Rookie of the Year. He'll definitely get defensive, but he should be Rookie of the Year. He's phenomenal.
They don't like to hand out sort of just a straight up Rookie of the Year. It'll be defensive and offensive Rookie of the Year, and he's obviously the he's a shoo-in. I think both offensive and defensive rookies of the year are shoo-ins in Justin Herbert. As well, being the offensive rookie of the year. So I think they're both pretty much shoe-ins for those awards. But Look, you know, yeah, he had that he had that fumble recovery for a touchdown, but that they were extremely menacing again defensively against against a a mediocre team in San Francisco. They're starting to sort of fall away a little bit in the playoffs or in the hunt for a wild card spot. So they were just they're getting the job done. Like it's a tough physical sort of team. Like, you know, quarterback play there wasn't terrific. I think Alex Smith got hurt in that game. I think he had a bit of a calf strain. They ended up having to bring in Dwayne Haskins, and he sort of, wasn't really lighting up, lighting up the field either. It was really funny that there was no offensive touchdown by Washington. I think they're the first team. I'm pretty sure I heard that right. You know, the first team on the road with no offensive touchdown since like 1992.
Yeah, no, you heard that right. No,
unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
But that's their defense is great. And if you look at, it's going to look like Dwayne Haskins might be the starting quarterback, possibly, their starting quarterback on the playoffs. Cause not, I think Alex Smith got injured again in that game.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it come out. He had a bit of a calf strain along those lines. So,
and I think, is it Josh Rosen? Is Rosen there?
I don't think Josh Rosen's there.
I think it's ridiculous, but I honestly think that Dwayne Haskins is most likely going to be their starting quarterback, you know, coming into the sort of...
Kyle Allen is there third, but he's hurt.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, Dwayne Haskins, I don't know. I know he was drafted high. I think it was 15th. Yeah, 15th, but... I don't see it. I just don't see it. They're relying too much on their defense, and that's fine if it keeps getting the W's, but they're going to need some sort of offense. I mean, no one expects them to do anything in the playoffs.
No, that's right.
Excuse me. They need some sort of offensive.
Someone's got to win the division.
Why? Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, someone's got to win the division. Yeah, yeah. And I think it'll be there. I think they deserve it, to be honest. They had a nice little run. My team definitely doesn't deserve it.
Four on the trot now. The New York Giants bubbles burst.
Yeah.
Burst in a big way. Arizona looked like they sort of awakened from their form slump at the moment and sort of, really gave it to the Giants. Like, they were just, they must have just been just gorging on KFC buckets of chicken in the locker room before they went out there. Like, they could not hang on to the ball. Good God.
Yeah, well, we'll move to that game. I thought exactly the sort of same thing. This is, you're talking about the Giants here, obviously.
They couldn't hold on to the ball. It shouldn't be. Yeah, you know, they like giving Daniel Jones this Danny Dimes nickname. It should be Danny Dropping Dimes. Like, he just can't hang on to the ball.
No. Yeah, you're right. I mean,
I don't understand. Does he have smaller hands for a guy who's 6'5" or 6'6"? I don't get it. Like, his ball security is unbelievably bad, and it's been unbelievably bad for essentially two seasons now.
I think he just got, be honest, I think he got shit scared by that. Hassan Reddick. He sacked him 5 times. It was amazing. Hassan Reddick, 5 tackles, 5 solo tackles, 5 sacks. Their defense really stepped up. But, yeah, it's possible. I mean, I'm not buying into Colt McCoy either. I think you're right.
If you're buying into Colt McCoy, he would have been a starting quarterback, in other places before now. He's been around a long time too. But, he's that quintessential sort of backup. So, that's all he's going to be. That's all he's realistically ever going to be. But
they don't have the greatest team, really. If you really sort of go through it, I mean, it wasn't like the Seahawks demolishing the New York Jets, but it looked to me that the Cardinals were comfortable enough to win this game. That's how it looked. I'm still not I don't know. I was sold on them, but now just with that little bit of form stuff, like you said, at 7-6, I'm not hugely sold on them. Not this year,
no,
maybe.
No, not yet. But yeah, like we said, you know, they've awakened from that little bit of a form slump this game. Whether they can continue that on is another story. And it looked like they sort of really established their run game against the Giants, control the clock. You know, Kenyon Drake getting plenty of work in 23 rush attempts. So, you know, not terrifically effective and only 80 yards, but to have that many, you know, to rack up 20 plus rushing attempts, you know, that's earning your paycheck as a running back.
I don't think I said this last week as well, but your Saints going down the Eagles. I don't think it was so much that Jalen Hurts started and then, you know, that's spurred them to the win. I mean, they went straight to the running game. This is what you'd really do with a rookie quarterback. I don't know. There's 1,000 other teams that could use Jameis Winston in a pinch like this. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it.
Look, Taysom Hill wasn't that bad. He had an extremely, extremely costly fumble, lost fumble. You know, 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. On a 4th-and-2, he got hit from behind, loses the ball. Philadelphia recovers. They score 6 plays later, and you know, while the Saints were on the charge, and they looked horrible in the first half. And Philadelphia, you know, credit to their O-line, and yeah, it just looked like that Jalen Hurts was making good quick decisions, getting the ball out nice and quick. When there was nothing there, he was selective with his run, with his run game and his running ability. It was just one of those perfect sort of, you know, culmination of the Saints were, you know, poor in a few aspects and Philadelphia were good on the other side of the ball. Like Taysom Hill wasn't that bad. Like,
I don't know.
Passing attempts he's had in a game in 38.
I think he threw
for 300 yards. Like he
got sacked 5 times as well. So
He was hit hard and hit often, and the Saints' defense could hardly lay a finger on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
That's been one of their stalwarts of this season, and especially in the last 6 to 7 weeks that they have been extremely stingy defensively. So the last 55 games, they have not allowed a 100 yard rusher. And in one game, they allow 2.
Yeah. No, he's a quick little player, Carson Wentz. I'm just about to talk about Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts. What happens now? So if you're the Philadelphia Eagles fans, because we know how chaotically angry they always get, they're out on Carson Wentz. They have to be.
Oh, they're out now. They are 100% out. And Doug Peterson has come out already today and said that they're going to continue with Jalen Hurts. So I could only assume that they're going to run with Jalen Hurts the rest of the season. So there's only three more weeks left, but I think that's what Philadelphia is going to do now. That looks like he sort of ignited them a little bit. And not to say that Jalen Hurts sort of, you know, lit the world on fire with his arm, but he was quick and decisive and, yeah, he was a threat with his legs. And when you like that, and there's not a whole lot of film on him, like, yeah, you could go back and see what he done at Alabama recently, and his last year at Oklahoma in college. You know, you can look at those and go, yep, you know, he's a bit of a dual threat, but the NFL is so much quicker and a lot harder than what college football is. And I think they just got caught off guard. And it's unfortunate too for the Saints because A, it's cost them the top spot in the NFC, and it could, and is most likely going to end up costing them another loss next week because they've got to play the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and it looks like, by all accounts, it looks like Drew Brees won't be back till around that Christmas sort of day game. So of what I've read, at least.
Yeah, so. he won't be playing next week. I'm sure he'll be absolutely gunning to try and be healthy to play Kansas City next week. I don't think it's a good idea, and they've just got to run with what they've got at the moment. Unfortunately, the Saints and Well, there was still a chance to sort of snatch this game.
Yeah, it was.
Will Lutz, who is unbelievably accurate. You know, we just talk about Justin Tucker on how accurate he is. Will Lutz isn't that far behind him, and he missed two field goals in this game. He ices those two field goals. It's a totally different game. The Philly only won by three. He ices those two field goals, and we're not praising Philadelphia as much. You know, it's one of those games.
I'm not praising Philadelphia. I'm not praising Philadelphia at all.
It's just one of those things. Even the onside kick that they had at the end of the game, they should have got that.
Yeah.
It actually touched a Philadelphia Eagle player's foot, and there was like four Saints jerseys around it, and they couldn't land on the ball. Just one of those things. It's just one of those games where everything goes not so much horribly wrong for one team, but yeah, just a few. It doesn't take many plays to lose an NFL game, but it takes, you know, an absolute shit ton of them to win one.
So the reason I brought up Carson Wentz is I was digging just to sort of see just to tell you the mind-blowing figures and why they can't cut Carson Wentz. So, yes, he's benched.
But they're not going to cut. There's no chance in hell they're going to cut him. But
no, but they can't trade him either. So for him, right, so he's, like we said last week, four-year, $128 million contract. Next season, he's going to get $35 million of the Eagles' salary cap, which is good for 17% of the total cap space.
That's the first year of this extension, right? Or is this exactly the first year of this extension?
No. This is the first year. Yeah, you said it right. Next year is the first year of extension.
Yeah, next year is the first year. So they still got four more years of this.
So to release him in the offseason would bring a total dead cap penalty of $59 million.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
That's right. So the next year, Bart, this is where I can only see where he's going to get cut. Not even the year after. In 2022... he will cancel $31 million of the Eagles' cap, about 14%. So releasing him will bring a $24 million dead cap space. But 2023, where he still can't $34 million of the cap, if they release him, there's only a $15 million dead cap space, which would save him $19 million. But I know that sounds ridiculous.
What year is that again?
2023. So they are in huge trouble. I looked at it and I was just going through because I was thinking, I knew about the contract, but I didn't, you know, you don't know about the whole dead cap space and how that works.
That is
absolutely astronomical. So they don't have a choice. They can't cut him. And secondly, well, I don't know, they have to start him. I get for the rest of this year. I get that. But then
what's in there about trading him? Like, he hasn't even started his extension yet.
There's nothing.
Could it just be so unprecedented that the very first year of his extension or the off-season before his extension, he could get traded?
Do you really think someone will pick up a four-year, $128 million contract extension? Someone has to pick that up.
Someone will be desperate for a quarterback.
I don't see that. That's what you're right. There's nothing.
There's teams out there that's desperate for a quarterback. If they don't pick one, if they don't get one in the draft, a la... So, you know, the New York Jets or Jacksonville or somebody like that, like who out there could use somebody like Carson Wentz? All you got to do is go up the road a little bit and you wear the red, white and blue and you're playing with Bill Belichick. And he could be, Edgar could be an absolute genius masterstroke.
You're right. I get where your head's at, but do you? That's the thing. I don't know if teams want to pick up a four-year, $130 million contract. That's the biggest problem.
No, England's not really sort of known for spending an absolute butt ton of money on
$70 million guaranteed. Tom Brady. $70 million of that's guaranteed. My God. So anyway.
All you got to do is have a look in the division. In the division.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah, what about the New York Giants? Like, who the hell knows what Daniel Jones doesn't look like he's going to be any type of good. Yeah, he's going to have to show rapid improvement in the next 2 years to warrant. He could be a Mitch Trubisky.
I think with Daniel Jones, I think they still needed some receivers there to at least assess, you know, how he – the same as Sam Darnold, just assess how he goes. Like,
he can't hang on to the ball. How's he meant to throw it?
Trubisky had receivers there and didn't show anything. I'm still like – but I don't mind the idea, obviously, of the Patriots. I just don't see exactly what you said. I don't see them picking up $130 million on a guy that – I don't know. That's the thing. This is a guy we were talking about 1 or 2 years ago that was endly – you know, he was in the line for MVP.
If he didn't get hurt – that, what, 3 weeks out from the Super Bowl, or, you know, from that Super Bowl run, he was going to be the league. He was most likely going to be the league MVP.
That's right. He was on fire.
So, he goes down. Nick Foles steps into it. Gets himself a Super Bowl MVP. Gets himself paid. Yeah, it's happy days after that. But that's what I mean. It was like Derek Carr a few years ago as well. He was having not an MVP caliber type season, but he was playing the best that he ever did. He gets hurt in week 17.
Yeah.
They go into the playoffs the next week and they get ramrodded.
And
Derek Carr hasn't looked any sort of good since then. I think that was 2017 or 2018. He hasn't looked any sort of good until this year. He's looked a little bit better now that he's got. Some decent protection, a good run game, and an absolute mutant of a tight end called Darren Waller.
I'll chime in on the rest of your games. There's obviously a lot of games to talk about. Is there any? Do you want to sort of keep going with ones that you needed to talk about? I mean, there's heaps, but
there's a few. Like, you know, obviously the Kansas City and Miami game was definitely a game that needed to have a bit of spotlight put on it. I think Miami sort of come out of the blocks. Well, I know Miami come out of the blocks, you know, super, super quick. You know, putting a nice quick 10 points on Kansas City and sort of pressuring Patrick Mahomes a little bit, who looks like he's sort of got a little bit of a love-hate relationship there at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. That's where they had the Super Bowl there last year. But It seems at that stadium he likes to throw interceptions there. You know, obviously he had three in this game, but he had two in the first quarter. Mahomes, he looked human. And then after that, you know, after Miami sort of, you know, gets out to that sort of 10-0 lead, and then all of a sudden Kansas City, they just flip the switch, and that's got to be just so difficult to be able to do, and they just pile on 30 straight points.
I don't know how they do it. Like, it's
ridiculous how they do it.
It is ridiculous how they do it. I think I just sort of mentioned before we got on, like, Travis Kelce, who's a tight end and is a big tight end and can run routes. Like, I've never seen – he runs some really, really good routes. He is now the leading wide receiver. Well, he should be a wide receiver. He's a leading NFL leader in receiving yards at 1250. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
It also helps that you've got a guy that's just, you know, he's such a, you know, a slinger of the ball, but he's so accurate, and that's why, you know, three interceptions in this game is just the glaring look that they looked a little sort of mediocre, and that, you know, they piled on 30 points in the second and third quarter, but, you know, Miami, true to what they do and how they played this year, they stuck to their guns. They fought their way back into this game.
Yeah, they did.
17 fourth quarter points. Like, you wouldn't have thought that the game was going to be any sort of close like that. It ended up being 30-24 after, I think it was the Gesicki, his second touchdown. It's unfortunate too that they've lost Parker and Gesicki. Yeah. As well now. They've both gone down with injuries. Parker's gone down with a leg injury, and Gesicki had a shoulder injury that looked extremely painful. He didn't look after he got belted down to the ground, and it didn't look like he was having a whole lot of fun when he was getting up. Didn't look terrific. It's a testament to Miami. I think we said it last week, it's a bit of a measuring stick sort of game for how Miami has come forwards in leaps and bounds in this season alone, that they're pushing for a wild card spot.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But I just what you said, like, Mahomes threw three interceptions, like, he's human. He also got sacked three times. He also nearly got 400 yards. So,
so he's human and then he's not human.
They had the best offensive weapons at the moment. I mean, and that's Le'Veon Bell that only got two carries.
Yeah, it's the Kansas City buffet. It's as big and as open as what the Cleveland buffet is for offensive weapons. Like it's unbelievable. They're not even using Le'Veon Bell.
No, two carries.
Could you imagine if he was getting two carries and 21 yards at the New York Jets?
Yeah.
He would be losing his frickin' mind.
I think he understands, I guess, that, you know, they're 12-1 Chiefs and he wants that Super Bowl ring. I think their biggest problem is...
It's not going to be through any help of his.
I still think they're completely sold on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I just don't know if that's there yet. Like they're pushing that they're sold on him.
He had an unbelievable start to the season, but he's very much come back, to the pack in that sort of regard. Like he's been, I guess, sort of fairly ineffective in the run game. But when you've got somebody there that like Patrick Mahomes, and you've got the weapons that he's got there. Why do you need to go anywhere else? Like, why do you need to go anywhere else? He wins it on his arm alone. Yeah. So Travis Kelce is, like you said, he's the league leader in receiving yards at the moment. He's essentially unstoppable.
He is. He's. I still think Gronk's one of the best tight ends I've seen. But this guy. The reason I say that because Gronk can block really well as well, and Travis Kelce.
He's a willing hard blocker.
But so can Travis Kelce to a stretch. But Travis Kelce is a wide receiver in a tight end's body. His route running is absolutely ridiculous. It's just the athleticism
on him is just otherworldly.
I guess we can talk about the Cowboys beating the Bengals. We don't have to. I don't really want to, but if you want to, we can.
It really, really sounds like that you really want to talk about this game. So the only thing I'll add to this game was, Cincinnati was sort of behind the eight ball pretty much from the get-go. Their first three possessions were fumble, return for a touchdown, and then a fumble. So they were just getting off to an absolute hot start, and it just got worse from there. Like it's just unbelievable.
There, I will say, when I watched it, Brandon Allen was consistent enough. I'm not saying he did great, but he was consistent enough. He didn't get sacked. He threw 27 to 36. That wasn't too bad.
No, it's, I mean, he's looked, apart from that first game when he took over from Joe Burrow and he just looked absolutely horrible. I guess now that he's sort of getting those first team reps and those first team snaps at practice, you'll get into sync with the offense and with this game as well. There was a bit of an AJ Green sighting as well. I think he had 68 yards or whatever this game.
Yeah,
so.
He did.
Yeah, so do you know what I mean? Like this game it was their leading receiver and actually caught a touchdown. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, this game was sort of little to no run game by both teams. So how the Cowboys sort of stay in touch with the rest of the rest of the division, but.
It's absolutely crazy.
I don't know what their run home is. I can only assume they probably got another couple of divisional games left. So, they're the way to sort of make up those games that they need.
It's absolutely crazy that they're still in the run for it. But yeah, you're right. So they got the 49ers next week, and then they got Eagles and Giants. Oh my God, those last two games are going to be.
Oof.
Of course, they're one of the highlight games on Monday. Cowboys and Eagles. They always are that game, the second last game.
Well, they always generally have that. That 4:25 p.m. kickoff over there on a Sunday afternoon. That sort of feature game on Fox Sports.
Yeah.
Over there. So it's all either or, whether it's on there or CBS. So they've got the yeah, they always have the former quarterbacks, whether it's Troy Aikman or Tony Romo commentating the game. So they're just like the Broncos here, that even though they're going bad, they obviously still draw attention and draw eyeballs to the TV.
Yeah, of course they do. It's ridiculous. Like they should have no eyeballs to the TV, but conceivably, yeah, they can finish. But that doesn't even make sense. So they'll finish 7-9 if they win all those games. If they don't beat 49ers, to me, they're out. Even if they beat the Giants and the Eagles,
next week's a must win. Like that, they've just got to win their next three games, and whatever happens, happens.
Because next week Washington's got Seahawks, so that's an L. And then they got the Panthers and then Eagles. So I think it's Washington's to lose, really, if you really look at it.
Yeah, no, it's it. Absolutely, it's Washington's to lose. They're the one this week the New York Giants bubble burst. It'll be how they bounce back from that. That's the big thing is getting that little bit of BB, that bounce back factor happening. So they've just got to try and all they can do is do the same thing as the other teams in the division. They've just got to play whoever's in front of them, try and win out.
Yeah.
That'll take care of itself. You know, winning the division, all you got to do is just win out as much as you can. And, you know, just let it play out.
So how do the Bears beat the Texans? With Trubisky starting.
Oh, the Texans, they looked horrible. The Texans looked horrible. Like we said before, like, you know, there was all this talk and around, is Deshaun Watson a sneaky MVP candidate? I guess, you know, when you've got a radio channel and you need to fill 24 hours a day, you've got to talk about stuff and you need content, and that's all that is. Like, that's just absolutely all that is.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, Trubisky did exactly what he should have done all year. You know, he used his strengths. He used Robinson getting a touchdown and getting over 100 yards, and, you know, Montgomery, I guess their lines were just sort of good, running 113 yards. I mean, he did have, you know, in saying that, he got that one long run of 80 yards, but still.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's like Miles Sanders. Like, Miles Sanders had 116 yards against the Saints. One of them was 78 yards. You take that away, and he's ineffective. But, you know, you have that one massive, massive run, and it inflates your figures like that. You take that away, that means he's got 10 carries for 33 yards.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's, to me, it's pretty simple. The reason why Texans lost is, you're right, Deshaun didn't have a great game, but, he also got sacked six times. It'd be seven times for both quarterbacks if you got A.J. McCarron in there as well. Chicago defense.
He got hammered. He got sacked six times. He got hit 11 times.
Yeah.
Like, that's just been to his detriment all year. Like, him and Carson Wentz have just been pummeled all year.
Yeah, they have. But that's always been the case for Deshaun Watson anyway. I mean, that's like a lot of, they need an O-line. That's always been the case for Deshaun Watson the last couple of years, that he might scramble and sort of get out of there, but he just, he always sort of gets hit. I don't remember getting hit so much up until sort of this game, at least this year.
No, not so much this year. He's still getting hammered, but it's because the other thing is too, is he doesn't have himself a DeAndre Hopkins, you know, running routes for him and catching the ball for him.
Oh,
like,
good point.
To me, like, have a look at the disarray that they're in their receiving ranks. It's unbelievable. Like, a lot of these guys that are on there wouldn't be a third or fourth receiver on a lot of teams.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, that's exactly right.
Yeah, Darren Fells had, he was in the end zone. He didn't have anybody within cooee of him. Yeah, there would have been 10 yards either side of him where he didn't have anyone on, and he just lost the ball in the sun and doinked off his helmet. Like that, just that's just the way that the Texans season's gone this year.
That yeah, sorry, yeah, that's exactly right. I just yeah, and they're 4-9. I mean, they might as well just. I don't know. Like I just, you can try, but there's no point. I don't know. I always think when you get to this point with teams and it's 4-9, like, look, they try. You look at the Jaguars, they still seem to sort of try, but I mean,
just,
to me,
it's
what's the
same
point?
Thing as the Jets. They're just not set up for success. And yeah, the only reason that Jacksonville and New York, or you know, the Jets, don't have 4 wins is because they don't have a quarterback like Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, he could have actually ended up technically if they drafted properly. It could have been roles reversed. He could have ended up at the actual Chicago Bears. It's conceivably it's not his fault at the end of the day. It's not his fault.
No, it is what it is. He's there now. He's got himself his contract extension. So he's not going anywhere at the moment. So they need to build around him.
Are there any other games you wanted to touch on?
Look, I thought just the one more game that probably was worth sort of having a bit of I thought the Indianapolis Las Vegas game sort of was worth having a bit of a sniff around. I thought. That was sort of a really good game for probably the first 2.5 quarters. And then, you know, the Colts just managed to start pulling away in that game. And, we sort of talked about it there last week on if you can get nice, consistent play from Phillip Rivers, then you're going a long way to getting wins. And he's not turning the ball over at the moment.
Yeah. 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 No, it, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I'm just unsure what's going on.
They've been solid offensively, but sort of yeah, sort of had did a little bit of sort of digging around, and you know since the start of November. They're averaging nearly 31 points a game, which is like top 3 or top 4 in the NFL. You know, their lowest output was against Baltimore, and that was I think that was in their second game in November. They only scored 10 points, but they've won 5 out of their last 7, and yeah, to me they're looking every bit the part and keeping pace with Tennessee in that division. They've got a good run game. Yeah, Phillip Rivers is making, I guess, sort of mediocre receivers look good. You know, T.Y. Hilton's a good receiver, but yeah, they don't have a whole lot sort of else there to throw to, and their good quarterbacks can make average receivers look good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, Phillip Rivers isn't that bad, really. I know you're completely sold out, I shouldn't say you're not sold out on him, but you know, he can make a team look really good.
No, that's right. I'm not so much sold out on him. It's just that last year that he was with, San Diego. The last year he was Chargers. With the Chargers.
Yeah.
He looked awful. He was turning the ball over. That's what I mean. He was just a turnover machine. At the start of this year, he was throwing bulk interceptions. He's gotten that out of his game now. He's got a receiver like T.Y. Hilton back in the mix. They've got a fairly solid run game. The rookie Jonathan Taylor sort of getting some work done as of late.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, and they've got us, and they've got like a top 10 defense as well. So
yeah,
they're everything is as advertised. And I said it last week, and you know, people are sort of coming in and say, oh boy, I wouldn't want to see the Cleveland Browns in the playoffs. I wouldn't want to see the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah. I'm exactly with you. I think, I don't want to see them in the playoffs. If I was a team, I like to see them in the playoffs.
They should get in. Like they'll get a wild card spot.
Yeah, but they, like you just said, I don't know if that's the kind of team I'd want to come up against. They'll be it's the same sort of carbon copy of who's else is in that division, rather the Tennessee Titans. Look, they're both sort of even at the moment, but like what the Tennessee Titans did last year. I mean, the only reason the Tennessee Titans are in it is purely because of Derrick Henry, single-handedly.
No, that's right. It's absolutely crazy. I think Tannehill isn't in as great a touch as what he was last year, but you know, now that AJ Brown, they've got AJ Brown and Corey Davis back there at their receiving core in Tennessee. I think that's going to go a long way with helping them if they do run into, you know, a little bit of a buzzsaw like what happened last week in Cleveland, it was in Tennessee, but where they just got absolutely chopped down in the first half and they basically had to abandon the run game. And then, you know, Corey Davis has a big game last week. You know, AJ Brown, that they can still work their way back into this, or, you know, into the contest, because they've got a pretty good 1-2 punch at receiver.
Oh, they're not out. They are the Texans, really, at the end of the day. And he's consistent enough, Tannehill. Their run home, I think I've seen their run home, wasn't sort of too bad, if I remember correctly. I mean, they did beat the Jaguars pretty convincingly. Their run home is, Lions, Packers, Texans. So they should win conceivably 2 out of 3 of them. So, yeah, it's most likely they'll finish top of the divisions. But the other way you just said, then I think the Colts will get a wild card spot.
Yeah, and that's the Green Bay obviously will be their toughest game, and they had a little bit of trouble with Detroit, but you know, I guess that was the same sort of situation, I guess, with the Colts and Raiders game. Like Detroit kept up with Green Bay for you know a good 2.5, maybe 3 quarters of that game. But they just got outclassed, and Matt Stafford got bashed around a little bit as well in that game. It looks like he's got rib injuries, so he may not start next week. I think Chase Daniel, is looking like he could be the starter at Detroit. So I think that's a little bit of a concern there for Matt Stafford and his possible prospects for next year, whether or not he wants to, you know, whether he wants to stick there with Detroit or maybe sort of do what, you know, players are doing in the NBA and sort of push for a trade and say, look, you know, I want out of here. But it looks like he's that kind of player that's super loyal. He doesn't come out and complain about management or the coach or anything of that. And they've looked a little bit better since they fired Matt Patricia. So you can, that's me, take from that what you will. But I thought they looked fairly competitive against Green Bay. But yeah, just Aaron Rodgers was too classy in that game.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They tried their best to try and keep Aaron Rodgers off the field. And it worked to a certain extent. Like they had two of their scoring drives went for 11 and 12 minutes. So, you know, that's the way to do it, is to just keep Aaron Rodgers and get him to cool his jets, you know, on the sideline. But that's, I mean, they're a dumpster fire defensively. So you've got to go out and you've got to score points if you're the Detroit Lions.
It's funny, the Green Bay Packers, their season, like they haven't really played anyone tough. The only one they played tough, I was going through it, they played the Bucs, who they lost against, and
they beat
the Colts.
They beat the Saints in week 3.
Yeah. That's a good point. I just think that they've got a pretty good schedule. I mean, they finished with the Panthers, Titans, and Bears. Titans might be a harder one, but they've got a pretty good schedule. They should finish. They should finish first, conceivably, I think.
No, well, they will. That's, I mean, they will now. They own the tiebreaker over the Saints, and you know, with the Saints having to play Kansas City next week, like that's bad news for them. That's probably going to be two losses on the trot now, and that'll cost them top place, the top seed and the bye in the NFC. But the Saints run home is not so much it's favourable. Obviously they've got the Chiefs next week, but they've got the Vikings and then they travel to Carolina. So it'll be we'll have to wait and see what sort of happens there at the top of the NFC. But I would think now that the Saints have lost now to Philly, will most likely lose next week. Then that's the Packers, and they will most likely get the bye in the NFC.
That sort of covers, I guess, most of the games. Yeah, just sort of going through them now. Did you have your stud and dud of the week?
I thought that was sort of worth mentioning that Tampa Minnesota game a little bit as well. That was sort of a feature game that they had here on, I think that was on ESPN, and it looked like sort of, TB12 sort of got back into a little bit of form and they're starting to play a little bit better. And I guess it's against Minnesota, but they've been playing a little bit better as well. So all the knives and daggers that were coming out for Bruce Arians and Tom Brady to sort of just get on the same page and start winning some games. They're starting to win some games now. So they'll be in the playoff mix there as well. Minnesota's fighting for a wild card spot. So they need to start racking up some W's as well.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just looking at the Buccaneers here. I think it's not an all or bust, but I think if they don't, conceivably, if they don't make the championship game, not talk about the Super Bowl, at least a championship game, I don't think Bruce Arians stays.
It's one or the other. It's Tom signed up for what, 2 years?
2 years.
I don't know. I still think they run it back. I think they can. They've got room for improvement. Whether they just want to, I don't know. I think that's a little early to sort of, run out there and say that Bruce Arians is the problem. Like that, it's been an interrupted sort of, preseason and everything like that. If all goes back to normal next year, then, they'll be able to sort of have, real practices instead of, stupid Zoom meetings and, non-contact sort of crap like that, where it's, you just don't get anything done like that. So
no.
It'll be the fact that, usually Tom Brady, led teams play well in December. So we're in December now. They've won a couple of games on the trot. So I think that they'll come into form at the right time of the year, I think, Tampa. I certainly wouldn't be overlooking them anyway.
Oh no, I'm not overlooking them at all. All I'm getting at is I think if they don't make the championship, I mean it's all reserved, so I'll just have a look.
Yeah, if they get dumped in the first round of the playoffs, that would be an absolute, unsuccessful season for them.
That won't happen. I don't think that'll happen. But
I don't think so. But I think that's just what I think. If they get turfed in the first round, then that's a bust of a season.
Oh, that's a bust of a season. Yeah, 100%. That's definitely a bust of a season. So who did you have as your start of the week?
Look. For me, it all came about after Superman came back out from the dressing room in the Monday night game. Yeah. I'm just saying it's Lamar Jackson post cramps. Like, yes, he was good beforehand, but the way that he emerged from the locker room, rain, hail or shine, it's just like, I'm coming back out. I've just heard that the quarterbacks, our second quarterback's gone down. He's had to come back out. He was going back out there regardless.
Yeah.
The touchdown pass that he threw to Hollywood Brown was unbelievable. Post cramps, he was 5 for 6 with a touchdown, and it was remarkable the way that the end of that game played out. And for me, that saved Baltimore's chances for a wild card spot. Like that was just huge, you know, playoff implications for them in that game. And it didn't look good when he was in the he was in the locker room for a good, I don't know, it could have been nearly 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Not of game time, but just 10 minutes of you know, of actual time. So just the way that he sort of come back out. And like I said, you know, it's there's a little bit of Willis Reed about it. You know, if anybody wants to sort of look up Willis Reed and the heroics of that with the Knicks, and then sort of Google that. But that's just that's a Hollywood script. Of what happened. That's just you couldn't write the ending of that game. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, no, I'll chime on the back of that. I agree. I think it was just like you said, post cramps, because he literally decided to come out there post cramps. He didn't have to, but I guess they sort of rescued their season.
Right. They needed him to. He didn't have to, but they needed him to.
I said his name before, but I just wanted, it was just to give a quick shout out to Travis Kelce, just because being now the leading receiving yards as a tight end is just phenomenal. Yeah, COVID season aside, it was just phenomenal. I think I've just never seen a guy of his size, and Darren Waller doesn't even do this, but a guy of his size run routes that quick and that well. I've never seen it. No wonder. I know they had a relationship and they had a bond and all that, and they still do. I mean, I watched somebody them play golf in the off season and they were all over each other, but they were jumping on each other and like from 20-foot putts and everything. They love each other. They absolutely love each other. But what I'm getting at is I can see why he always gets targeted, because he is a wide receiver in a tight end's body.
He's a large human. So
he's a large.
And like you said, you know, he runs gate routes, but he's also big enough, strong enough, and tall enough that he can get over the top. If he gets into the secondary, or you know, gets into that second tier defense, he can move around your linebackers. He's more athletic and quicker than them. He's a lot taller than a lot of than a lot of your secondary guys. So he's always going to have the height advantage there. So it's the perfect combination.
Who did you have as your dud of the week?
Look, I guess it come down to two kickers this week. You know, one in Dan Bailey just had an absolute horror show for Minnesota against Tampa. You know, what did he miss? He missed an extra point. He missed three field goals. That they go a long way for Minnesota of keeping that game competitive and, you know, keeping them in the game, you know, making them sort of think that maybe they could actually win it. Instead of being, they just looked demoralized towards the end of that game because they know they didn't have a shot. And Tampa played pretty good defensively. So, and the other one too, the other kicker as well, I thought, you know, even though he's my kicker as well, but Will Lutz, he missed the couple of sitters or field goals that he missed, you simply can't miss them. You know, in a tight game on the road, you can't miss those. You can't do it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Will Lutz had missed three field goals. They're in the same boat. Dan Bailey and Will Lutz had both missed three field goals, each season. Dan Bailey misses three in this game, and Will Lutz misses two in this game. So it goes as much as you don't want to rely on your kicker for wins. You know, unfortunately, that's part of the job. That's just part of the job.
That is part of the job. That's not sort of a bad one. I mean, there's no point talking about the Jets. They were just absolutely abominable. And surely Adam Gase doesn't. I mean, we said it before, but surely Adam Gase doesn't keep his job. I do still have a dud, but I just wanted to ask you that. Surely not.
He can't. He simply can't. We said it last week. He is making Sam Darnold just look like the most incompetent quarterback that's going around at the moment. Like if he doesn't go, then he needs to go to management or whoever and say, look, I want out of here. I want out. It's to the detriment of his career.
Well, it depends who they're looking at. It depends who they're going to pick at, conceivably going to be number one.
That's right.
they might have to ship him out regardless. So
it's they look horrendous, and so it's, I mean, so did New England in this week as well. Like, New England just look absolutely horrendous.
The only one that I was looking at as a dud of the week was Anthony Lynn. Yes, they did win the game. Don't get me wrong, they did win the game. But he also nearly lost the game right at the end there. I mean, the interception aside, but he freely admitted, I'm sure, I just can't find it. That's what I've been looking for the last couple of minutes, trying to procrastinate from it. But he said he didn't realize. I don't know. He didn't realize it was a 2 minute clock. He said he never looked at the clock. He came out post and said that.
Kind of coach doesn't look at the clock, especially in a tight game or when you're only up three.
Well, that's exactly right. I think it was something around with the punt sort of area, which around sort of when, I mean, there's a lot of three and outs in that game, but I think it was around sort of the punt, when they were looking to, they had to sort of punt, and they punted too quick or something along those lines. But he come out and said, yeah, I didn't realize, you know, that we're in that sort of 2 minute zone, and then about 2 minutes sort of left. And I mean, I did not want to hear that from a coach.
You keep that one under your hat.
It's like he thinks, like, I don't know.
Yeah, good on him for being honest, but you definitely keep that one in your back pocket. You don't let that little nugget of information drop out.
It's like he must think it's like he's looking at, like, say, a English Premier League game and goes, oh no, it's all good. There's going to be 2 minutes of injury time later or something.
We're going to have 5 minutes of injury time.
It was around that 2 minute warning. I'm just looking at it now. It was, it was first and 10, shotgun pass to Eckler. Then it was a shotgun pass against Eckler to get second and one. And then third and two, he did shotgun to Allen and got intercepted. So he nearly effectively threw the game away. That was at 53 seconds. You were third and two at 53 seconds and you decided to throw the ball at a shotgun pass. Surely you got Eckler there to run, is what I'm getting.
Here, run the clock out.
And he didn't. That's what I'm saying. He goes, oh, I didn't realize it was in the 2 minute warning. Like, come on. That's basically just saying, oh, yeah, I don't want to coach here next year.
That's
they won. Don't get me wrong, they won. But oh my god, I mean that's another team of feel sort of like you just said. If Anthony Lynn has to keep staying there, you'd feel sorry for Justin Herbert. Considering they have great weapons in Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler.
No, that's right. I think it's whether or not their problem is X's and O's I'm not 100% sure. So you'd think that they would be on the improve next year. Like I said last week, it's such a rare situation that a rookie quarterback, especially a high drafted one, will come into a team and it looked this way. Like Justin Herbert has looked great.
Yeah,
but he just doesn't have the game awareness at the moment at the NFL level, and that's not his problem.
It sounds like it's his coach's problem. He doesn't have game time awareness or anything like that, game awareness possibly. I could not believe I heard that, and now that I've looked at the thing, I'm like that. Because if you said run the 53 seconds, why a third a second with 53 seconds throw another shotgun pass? That's just ridiculous. I don't get it. But, and there was no timeouts quarter. There must have been out. I didn't catch all the game. The Falcons must have been out. So it's not like they stopped the clock or anything, but.
That's right. All you got to do is, just run that game down and wait until there's two or three ticks left on the clock.
Yeah.
And then you slot the field goal. Happy days. Game's over.
Well, that'll do it for this week for our week 14 of NFL. Don't forget all our socials out there. Well, all being two. Twitter at Final Play Pod and. Hey, that's two. I don't know how many more you can have. I don't want to be on all these other ones. Excuse me. Anyway, and Facebook is Final Play Podcast, where everybody seems to go, those two. Anyway, so that's especially if you follow sports. They're the two go. All the other ones aren't sports related.
Nobody goes on Instagram to follow sports. You go on Instagram to sort of like follow people outside of sports, and that's kind of boring. So
that's exactly right. So unless they put juicy details there's no point of us being on there.
Exactly. Also, you can get all that sort of stuff on Twitter anyway.
Well, this is a good point. They also, our podcasts obviously are all on gimco.com.au, which again, as we say every week, is highly appreciated. Every week we say it, but it is
always, yeah, always appreciated for, yeah, for them, for us to be on their platform. So yeah, it's all right. Yeah, if you can, you can. It's in the forum section. So you just go on there and you click on the forum tab, and it comes up as podcasts, and you can listen to it straight off the page if you're on a desktop or a laptop. But you can listen to it any other way through there. They've got the links and everything that you can look it up to, and it takes you through to our Spotify and SoundCloud as well.
Very good. Well, my name's Jason. You know, I can't believe it. Look at a shot clock next time. It was inconceivable. Smith, I just, like, you know, realize you're in a 2-minute warning error. I just don't get it. I really don't get it.
Yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's
oh no, it's ridiculous.
It's like Adam Gase last week saying, "Oh, I didn't know what Greg Williams was calling. Oh, I wasn't paying attention." What do you mean you're not paying attention? You're the head coach.
These are two coaches that, okay, they're not having the greatest seasons, but what, like, you're not going to say to Rory, do you want to lose your job? Like, you're saying the wrong things to keep a job.
No, that's just, right. Yeah, and the reputation of Adam Gase at the moment is absolutely in the toilet. Like, who in the blue hell would pick him up as any sort of coach? You know, at a skill position coach, or, you know, an offensive or defensive coordinator, you wouldn't want a bar of him.
See, how does that work? I mean, I know we're sort of troping on time here, but how does that work? So say, and it looks like it's going to be the case, but let's say Adam Gase gets fired and they'll have the number one pick, and they have your interviews like they do, the pre-interviews and all the workouts and all that, and they'll go to Trevor Lawrence. Are they allowed to talk about, like, what coach he sort of wants to look for, or how, you know, how does that sort of stuff sort of play out? Like, surely he has to have some sort of say if they're going to pick him. Surely.
I mean, I guess as soon as they let Adam Gase go, then there's sort of no tampering. Yeah, I don't know what their sort of rules are in regards to that, like they do in the NBA, you know, what they call tampering. So it would be. Yeah, I don't know. And whether or not if it's going to be a head coach who's going to be your chief play caller, or you get a head coach in there, say you get a defensive-minded head coach in there, and then you get a trusted offensive coordinator. So, you know, that's sort of two ways you can go about it.
I think you'd have to have some sort of say. I mean, I know it happens in the NBA. I mean, This is not for a rookie, I suppose. Like, a rookie wouldn't have that much sort of power in the NBA. I mean, probably, except for, like, you know, someone like when LeBron got, you know, drafted. Probably not in the first year, I suppose. Yeah, no, it wouldn't have happened in the NBA.
That's a super important, you know, position in football as the quarterback. So
yeah, exactly.
I would think that he would just have to trust in the organization. You know, whatever route they go, whether they pick up a defensive-minded coach and they get a good play caller, or, you know, the other way around, where they pick, you know, your head coach is going to be your chief play caller. It'll just be, I'd say once, I would think 24 hours after the season finishes in 3 weeks, that Adam Gase will be lining up at Centrelink. Or Social Security or whatever the hell it is over there.
Yeah, I think it's Social Security. It doesn't matter.
The unemployment line. He'll be on ZipRecruiter.
And that's the one, ZipRecruiter. Trevor Lawrence will go to New York Jets. I'm calling it. I think that's going to happen. I don't think he'll sit out another season. And it doesn't matter really, because at the end of the day, you're going to go to a terrible team anyway. At the end of the day, you're not going to go to a great team.
When you go that high, you're always going to a terrible team. But so, all you got to do is have a look at what Adam Gase is doing to Sam Darnold at the moment. I wouldn't want that for my career.
I get that, but, you know, that's where I think the whole coach comes into it. This is why I think that. You have to have some sort of not say, but you have to have some sort of belief that the coach is going to be great. I mean, look,
Monday morning after that last Jets game, Monday morning, I think he'll be marching into management office and he'll be marching out unemployed.
You want to sign off? Yeah, that's probably true.
Well, he cannot keep his job. He just cannot keep his job. It can't happen. I'll sign off as Miles Butterfingers Plum. The other New York team, just the Giants, that just unbelievably bad. Like, just hang on to the ball. Just hang on to the ball.
yeah, definitely.
It's just unfathomable how Daniel Jones just keeps reverting back to the same things. The same things. Ball security is just, it's unfathomable. Something's got to be wrong there. I don't know.
Something is definitely wrong there. Definitely. All right, have a good week, everyone.
See ya.